Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Jaeger CPA Review and More. This podcast is sponsored by Jaeger CPA Review, the course provider that deals only with the AICPA blueprints. Please go to the JaegerCPAReview.com website and look at our various products. And we believe in seeing is believing. And therefore, please look at our 3-day free trial. Pick a subject, and it'll give you 3 days free access, unlimited, to that product. And I believe that once you look at that product and see how it works, you will pick Jaeger CPA Review as your course provider. If you have any questions, you can reach us at 301-874-4900. If you press 5, you may even talk to Phil Jaeger. Take care, everyone, on your journey for the CPA exam. We wish you the best and good luck.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
Yeah, because a lot of people are going into advisory services in the States here, consulting. One person that I know, like he said to me, he got a CPA.
Yeah.
And he went to work for a public accounting firm, a big four, all right,
yeah,
for 4 years. And that was good to help him to go into the consulting area, which sounds very similar to what you're doing, all right? But he said, you have to know how to analyze the financial statements.
Of course, right.
And
right.
Generally, it's the CPA and working in public accounting,
yeah,
all right, that did that for him.
That's
okay?
Right.
Now, let's assume I'm that person, all right? I come to you, all right? You're going to put me through this financial modeling, right?
Right.
Right, which is, you said, how many exams?
Well, we have three separate levels. So the first level is one exam. And if you pass that exam, it's a 4-hour exam, and you can earn the Advanced Financial Modeler, the AFM designation.
Okay. What about the second one?
The second level is called the CFM, the Chartered Financial Model. That's also a separate four-hour exam. It's only AFMs are eligible. You need to get through level one if you want. You don't have to get to level two. Level one is probably appropriate for most people. But if you really want to get to a much even more detailed, sophisticated level of modeling, some people aspire to our second level, which is the Chartered Financial Modeler.
And the third one is called what?
The third one is called the Master Financial Modeler level, the MFM. And that one is more like, you'll recognize this, is more like an accounting fellowship. The Master Financial Modeler level is more akin to a lifetime achievement. It is more of an application process for people who can demonstrate contribution to the field of modeling, people who have been working in modeling for a long time, who have exceptional technical skills, who have been teaching or leading groups or interacting with clients and have really or have contributed to the field in some way through talks, publishing, you know, content, and, you know, who are truly at the top of the pyramid. And are deserving of that. And we have a committee that's being launched next year, by the way. We were supposed to launch it just before COVID, but then we had some other things to deal with. So that's going to come out next year, the master level, the third.
So it sounds to me like if you take maybe the first course,
yeah,
that could be enough to go into financial modeling.
Absolutely.
Do you need the second one?
No, you don't need the second one. So and it's not a course, so to speak.
Is it a case study?
It is an exam. What we're selling people is access, ability to write the exam, and if they pass the exam, they get the designation. The exam itself is a case study, and they have to build up a model. Now, you asked earlier about how people can learn this. Think of the Institute. Our FMI Institute is sort of like the CPA organization. Mm-hmm. There are approximately 25 training firms all over the world that run training courses to help people prepare for our exams in the same way that you do to help people prepare for the CPA exams through your own business. So there's around 25 firms all over the world that help people prepare. Also, through the FMI, we also have our own learning materials. We have a whole tutorial series. So when people sign up for the exam, they get access to a learning management portal with about 12 hours of video series that walks people through step by step by step. So they can either use the tutorial series that comes by signing up for the AFM exam, or they can use another training firm and pay that firm to help teach them how to build a financial model.
Do you teach them how to build a financial model?
Well, so through the FMI, we don't run training courses, but we did create learning materials. So our learning materials can effectively teach people. Yes, if they want to use our learning materials, which people like a lot, they're welcome to use our learning materials. But we don't run classes. Like the FMI does not run classes where you come and every Monday night you sit with us and we teach you. Think again, like the CFA Institute or the CPA Institute. We're there to kind of adjudicate, proctor, build the exams, and validate people who have passed the exams. And that's what we're doing at the FMI.
Your financial statements are in international financial reporting standards, correct?
Yeah. Yes. To be perfectly honest, they are generic enough that they could pass for US GAAP or IFRS. We're not trying to get so much into the weeds that the company, whenever we create companies under for the case studies to write the exam, it could easily be built either way. We don't get into enough granularity that forces people to understand that we don't want people to have to worry about the distinction between IFRS and US GAAP. So for instance, we will give people information in the case study about the sector, the industry, the company, how revenue works, how their cost structure is designed. We'll talk about the fixed assets and CapEx programs.
Accounting. It sounds like a lot of accounting.
Yeah. It doesn't require an intimate knowledge of IFRS rules or GAAP rules. People write this exam in the US, so they write it all over the world. And so it's sort of agnostic to which accounting rules that you need to adhere to.
Yeah, you're talking about fixed assets, okay? What basically, it sounds like a person has to know the information of an accountant. And then you said, no, all right. You said the accountant is more or less, calculating depreciation, that type of thing.
That's right.
That's not what you do.
No, it is, because if we're building, so what we'll tell them in the case study for the exam, for the AFM exam, we'll say, hey, here's a company. Company A has PP&E on their balance sheet of X dollars, and this is their capital expenditure forecast for the next 5 years. We'll say to them that they use straight line methodology or declining balance, and over 20 years or over 10 years, whatever it is, and we'll expect people to take that information and be able to forecast all of the asset-based calculations. So they'll have to build a depreciation schedule in their spreadsheet that properly forecasts depreciation using whichever methodology we provide. But what I was saying is it's agnostic as to whether you live in a country that uses IFRS versus US GAAP, because wherever you are, you still need to know how to forecast the depreciation expense using different approaches. So it shouldn't matter whether you are using IFRS typically or GAAP.
You know that IFRS is no longer on the CPA exam.
They
put it on the exam.
Yeah.
Because they wanted a convergence of GAAP and I. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And IFRS was never approved by the SEC.
That's right.
So therefore, it was taken out of the exam as of July 1st.
IFRS. Yeah, right. Yeah. No, that's right. I mean, but my understanding from that is what they've taken out is they don't need people to have an intimate understanding of the distinction in rules between IFRS versus US GAAP.
So it's not important that you know that LIFO is not an acceptable method of inventory for IFRS.
No, because when you forecast, when you forecast in a financial forecast, the inventory methodology is somewhat secondary. Again, we're not financial modelers, and financial models are rarely getting into the level of granularity around, am I using average life? Am I using LIFO? Am I using FIFO? What we're trying to do when looking out into the future is say, what were the balances? What were the account balances at the end of last period? And how am I going to forecast them based on expectations on collecting cycles, receivable days, inventory days, and use that information to forecast what I think my account balances will be into the future so that I can understand my working capital positions. But for most high-level models, it's not relevant. And I understand, right? Obviously, IFRS does allow LIFO or FIFO. US GAAP does not allow both of them. That's not going to come into play when you're forecasting the company into the future.
Where do most of the financial modelers come from? All right. What countries? You're dealing with all over the world, right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right. Let's assume we have all financial models, 100%.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, first of all, where do most of them come from? What country?
It's an excellent question. I mean, the fun thing about what we're doing and what we've seen is that there's interest all over the world. We've had people sit our exams from over 50 or 60 countries around the world. We used to run our exams in person, like you'd go to a testing center and you'd sit the exam in person.
Right, right.
But with COVID, we moved to a virtual approach where people write from home or from their office. But it's even more rigorous than ever before because our proctoring software gets a full recording of the person and of their screen. So we're watching the screen, we're watching them. So if anyone comes into the room, if they start talking to anyone, we get flagged. We can see what's happening. We can see if they're using other, if they're going to other internet sources, which they're not allowed to do. So we've seen people, a lot of interest, I'll tell you, Phil, from Africa, from the Middle East, from Asia. There's certainly plenty in North, and we've had a lot of writers from New York, Toronto, Chicago, and the major financial centers in the U.S.
There are a lot of people from the United States.
Yeah, we are getting people. We're getting a lot of people. Listen, we're not getting huge, huge numbers yet. We're still relatively new. And it's a very challenging exam. So when people become aware of us, they need to be ready for the exam. So we're building our volumes, our numbers. But every time we sit an exam and we get hundreds of people come out, they're coming to us from all over the world.
And do you find that the people that are going into this have a very high intelligence rate? They're very intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, you need to be quite intelligent to, you don't need to be, a genius by any stretch. You need to be intelligent. You need to be, modeling has two major components to it, Phil. There's the knowledge portion, and then there's the skills portion. I'm not sure if did you ever do any sport growing up or play any sports yourself? Are you a golfer?
No, I did every day I would get up from my bedroom. In fact, I can tell you today. I get up, my bedroom is upstairs, okay?
Yeah.
All right. I get up about 6 a.m. and I took a good, brisk walk down the steps.
Nice.
Then I sit on the couch and watch MSNBC.
Okay, so you watch it. Okay. Right. So you're not...
I didn't answer your question. No, I didn't.
No, okay. Well, you can imagine if we took, let's say, golf as an example. Every discipline that requires some practice, there's two components. There's the knowledge piece and then there's the skills piece. Modeling has both. It's kind of like a sport. If you wanted to learn golf in about 2 hours, you could learn a lot of what you need to know about the game. You could learn the history. You could understand a golf course works. You could understand the different clubs. I could teach you who the major players are. I could teach you how to scoring works. And you could learn all the things you need to know about golf in a few hours. That's the knowledge side. But to really get good at golf, you got to go to a driving range for hours and hours, day on day on day on end. If someone was brand new to the U.S. and wanted to become an excellent golfer, you could teach them the knowledge that they need in a few hours, but they're going to need months by themselves on a driving range, hitting balls, practicing, playing over and over, and then they could get very good. Modeling is the same. If going through our learning materials or taking a course, we'll teach you all the knowledge you need. You'll learn about working capital. You'll learn about depreciation. You'll understand debt. But to get good at it, to pass the exam, you need to put in the reps. You need to put in the tries and the time to do it over and over and over and over again until you're really comfortable. Building up a full model of a company in under 4 hours is challenging. Just on a time, that's a lot of time pressure. So Phil, I will tell you, of the people who fail the exam, we can tell a lot of the fail people, a lot of those who failed because they ran out of time. So they had a good understanding of what they were doing. They were doing great work on the exam, but they ran out of time. But that's important too, because anyone who does modeling for a living knows you need to know what you're doing and you got to be pretty quick. You got to be able to work fast because people want you to do it very quickly. And so, so that's what we're looking for. And you know what? Those who pass do it in much, they can do it in 3 hours, but But yeah, so it's something that you just need to keep doing over and over and you'll get it. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to kind of get there. You need to go through the content and then practice a lot.
After I pass my first level of your exam, okay, yeah. I go and look for a position. All right?
Yeah.
Are companies there going to hire me and give me the training, or do they want people who have the training already?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So if you happen to be looking for a job that requires modeling skills, when recruiters and employers see that you are an AFM, they will come to learn that an AFM means you're an advanced financial modeler and you passed a very challenging, rigorous exam. Now, we are in 2022, we've got a major educational campaign on the go. Those who know about what we're doing are using it and like it. So for instance, as I mentioned at PwC, they're using the exams internally as their barometer, their tool. But we are working very hard to educate the world. We're looking to educate professors all over the world. We're looking to educate banks and bankers and big companies. We want it to become somewhat ubiquitous where someone who's recruiting or who's looking for people comes to understand that if you meet a candidate and they have their AFM, that means they have outstanding financial modeling skills. And we're working to help educate people so that they're aware of that.
Okay, but my question is, when you get it, all right, you want to get a job, a position, correct?
Yes, right. Yeah, right? Yeah, right.
How hard is it to get a job with no experience in the field?
Oh, well, I mean, it really does depend to some extent. Some jobs are entry-level jobs and other jobs do want people. It's a bit of a chicken and egg.
Entry level means no experience or a year sure. or two.
Absolutely. So for instance, a lot of finance jobs recruit people right out of university. So a lot of credit jobs, a lot of banking jobs will bring in a group of seniors. Every one of the major banks brings in hundreds and hundreds of recent undergrads and MBAs. But in order for these jobs are very heavily sought out. These are very, very competitive jobs to get. So if some students can demonstrate that they not only have good grades and they not only have the right degree, but they also have an AFM, that tells the employer, wow, you really took your modeling skills. So you have a great academic background and you have excellent financial modeling skills. And we know that because you've got your, that will just give them an advantage.
We'll invest money in you. Give you the training.
Yeah, because we know you're already going to be coming in quite strong in modeling. And, you know, I got to tell you, some people who join banks really have a hard time figuring out this skill. And if a bank hires someone and they just can't figure out modeling, then that person may not be very effective in the role.
I'm curious about one thing. Are you familiar with what's going on in the U.S. work market, aren't you?
Oh, that, yeah, it's very competitive.
People are just retiring. They can't find people to work.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have the same problem in Canada?
Yeah, we're experiencing a pretty tight labor market right now as well. People are leaving the workforce. Businesses booming at the higher end corporate side. Banks are hiring. There's been a lot of turnover at banks. It's pretty similar to what you're seeing in the U.S. right now. Indeed.
You see, they were able to quit here in the U.S. because they were getting huge amounts of money from the government.
Oh, is that why?
Oh, yeah. They were getting tax-free unemployment.
Okay.
$600 a week and maybe another... $400 a week, all right, just as supplemental because the economy was so bad. They were getting $1,000 a week for staying home.
Wow.
Well, therefore, all right, and a lot of it is, I think it's based on states, counties, but, you know, a lot of people maybe are still on this. If you're getting $1,000 a week, U.S. dollars, tax-free, what's your incentive to go to work?
Not much, I guess.
That's what the problem is.
Okay.
And they're actually going after now retirees.
Uh-huh.
Right? Try to get them to come back into the workforce.
Yeah, and that's creating a problem because now, I mean, a lot of bankers that I've spoken to recently, recruiters are struggling to find people. There's a lot of turnover and they're finding it tough. They don't get a lot of good applications when they put up job postings right now. So yes, it is definitely a good market to be looking for work. It won't always stay that way. And those who really want to get in or get to the next level, they continue to have to distinguish themselves and prove that they have the skills needed.
In the States, they're saying this could continue for a long time. As long as, hey, people have this money they built up, this tax-free money. And, you know, they have enough money in savings to say one day, all right, you want me to come to the office to go to work?
Yeah.
No, I'll work at home. Yeah. All right. But I'll only work 9 to 5. And yeah. Now with the employees are dictating to the employers. And that's a big change the employers have to accept.
Yeah.
So, but they are going to retirees. Now, I know in Canada, you get pension, the government supplements, I'm sorry, the government pays your pension when you retire, right?
No, it depends where you're working. I mean, our COVID programs, I think were somewhat similar to yours. People were getting also fair amounts of cash payments if they were out of work or lost work. And so that's part of contributing to the same issues here. Yeah, pensions, no. I mean, we have...
You contribute to your own pension plans? Or is it non-contributory? I mean, does the employer contribute and only the employer? Or can you match it, like in the States?
You can match it, but it truly depends on the company. So some companies match... Some companies still have defined benefit programs. Some have defined contribution programs. Some have nothing. Different government agencies operate differently. We're in a very interesting time where there's a wide range of retirement. And then for those who are, some companies, you don't really get much of a pension, but so the government has a retirement plan where you can contribute to your own retirement X dollars per year. And then it grows. It reduces your taxable income. So if you contribute to your own retirement plan, you effectively take dollar for dollar off your top level income, and then it grows tax free until you retire. So there are programs here where you can self fund.
Sounds similar.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
But a lot of corporations here and states are getting rid of those defined benefit plans.
Oh yeah, same here. They are going the way of the dodo bird, actually, around here. I mean, I don't know too many other than some government agencies, and it seems to be a thing of the past, the defined benefit plan, yes.
Yeah, and we've been talking about defined benefit, and I would think that a lot of people watching this don't even know what it is, but...
Yeah.
And I apologize, and you can be frank with me. We hardly touched the surface of what you do.
Oh, no, we touched on a little bit, and it's been fun chatting with you. But you're right. There's certainly opportunity to chat more at some point if you're interested. It's been fun chatting with you today.
No, I would like to. I always, what I do at the end is I usually say to whoever I'm interviewing is, give yourself a plug why people should get into this. All right? And in less than 5 minutes?
Oh, for sure.
Could you give me a plug? I'm thinking about it. Well, this. I listened to it. It sounds interesting. Mergers, acquisitions. Give me a reason.
Sure.
Why I should go into this?
Why you should go into modeling and why you should get certified and get an accreditation in this area? Well, listen, it's pretty simple. If you are going to be working in any area of accounting or finance that's going to be involved in understanding forecasting companies for credit purposes, for valuation purposes. Maybe you're a money manager. Maybe you run money and you're investing in companies. Maybe you're just doing operational planning or budgeting. If you are in any way involved in making decisions or facilitating decision-making around some of the key critical business decisions that we make that I talked about, you're in need of modeling skills. That's modeling. Modeling is all about trying to capture the future as best as you can in a clean, organized, beautiful way to help your teams make optimal decisions. And if you're involved in that, you need strong modeling skills. And the only way to truly prove that you have strong modeling skills, because we're the only organization in the whole world right now that is doing this, is to validate your modeling skills through the FMI. And then the best thing that happens when you get our AFM level is you've actually become a phenomenal financial modeler. In my mind, actually, the accreditation is secondary. The primary thing is you have become an outstanding modeler in order to get through the exam, and that it's a skill that will serve you for the rest of your life.
And there's more positions out there than there are supply of people, correct?
Yeah, there's a lot of positions that are very hungry for people who have very strong modeling skills. It's a critical skill set more than ever before.
And the how people are very materialistic, you know, still.
Yeah.
All right. How are the salaries? I mean, I don't want a dollar amount, but are you compensated for the amount of time studying your knowledge?
Yes.
It is very good.
Yes. Jobs that are in a lot of accountants will move into finance roles, corporate finance roles, asset management roles, managing money, because they do tend to pay higher than working in traditional accounting roles. It is what it is. And so having strong modeling skills is a great, great way to bolster your own personal resume, to allow you to move into a finance role that will undoubtedly be higher paying than most, you know, many accounting roles, I would think.
I hope you felt that this was worthwhile being on here. And I don't know if you gave enough information you wanted to, but I really would like you to come on again and continue this. I mean, just, I feel like we scratched the surface. And maybe that's my fault because I just keep talking.
But, no.
Not
at all. Phil, it's been a real pleasure to chat with you. You've got great background and great insights, and it's been a real pleasure to be here and to talk a little bit about financial modeling. You're absolutely right.
By the way, how do people get in touch with you if they're interested in this?
How do they get in touch with me? So I don't know if you're going to post that at all. My name is Ian Schnoor again.
Okay, we can post this.
You can post it, Schnoor. Okay. I'm easy to find on LinkedIn, but I'm the executive director of the organization I was talking about called the Financial Modeling Institute, the FMI. Okay. And our website is fminstitute.com. And my contact info is there. We are not hard to find. We have a LinkedIn page. So if you're interested in the Financial Modeling Institute, you will not have a hard time finding us, and you'll see me there again, Ian Schnoor. So not hard to track.
I'll get your email. All right.
And yeah, sure.
It's on, and we'll get it on this video. Okay.
Great. Well, that's fantastic, right. Phil. We appreciate that. I'd love to come back when you're ready. We'll do some modeling together. I'll bring some models.
I will. What do you want me to wear? You like Pierre Cardin or?
I want a little Pierre Cardin. I'm always looking for a little Pierre Cardin.
Yes.
We'll get you up to speed too. Maybe we'll get you ready for, why don't we do that? Let's get you ready to write the modeling exam too. You can do it with your background.
At my age, I'm afraid I won't get beyond step one half. I mean, that's the problem.
Oh, you can, Phil. I'm optimistic. I know you can do it.
No, you don't have people my age, I would think. Do you? No.
So I, you know what? It's all a state of mind, Phil. I'm optimistic.
It is. It's just the number. That's what
it's
I'm told.
It's just the number.
But I hate that number. I really do.
Yeah.
Just stay well. And yeah. And thank, by the way, thank Rhea Romano. Romano? Is it Romano?
Romano.
Romano. Please tell her I appreciate all of her cooperation. And I will call her again and, you know, we'll see if you're very hard to book, I understand. But, you know.
You know what? When you call, it'll just be Jackie Mason. You give them password and
Now, the people watching this don't even know Jackie Mason.
I know. He's a famous comedian who you met. You told me about that. But
great.
I'm always when you call, I will be thrilled to book a time whenever you like to come back and chat with you.
I appreciate that. All right. Hey, stay well.
You too, Phil.
Stay safe. Ladies and gentlemen, I had today Ian Schnoor, all right, coming to us from Canada, talking about what he does, which is financial modeling. All right, we barely scratched the surface. Hopefully, we'll get Ian back another time, and we can continue this discussion. So, ladies and gentlemen, hey, take care, be well, and most importantly, this COVID has not made people very nice, so therefore, you be nice to people, okay? Take care, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.